was treated in bullying, aggression, and she ran with me. There was a singular incident where a classmate, Jeanette, had attempted to blind her in pure envy-fueled rage. This was my mother's receipt, the evidence of her power. Jeanette was legendary in the school for her cunning and daring. People didn't mess with Jeanette, perhaps because of her tough persona, but also because of a particular pair of razor-sharp stilettos she wore to school every day. My mother couldn't remember what time of year it had been when Jeanette came shimmying down the slinky hallways of the post-war prefab secondary school, all the way towards her. What she did recall is that shortly after the bell had rung out of command, with my mother only a short distance behind her, Jeanette had glanced back, caught my mother in sight, and, with premeditated precision, stopped in her tracks, flicked her ankle, and set my mother cascading to the floor, attempting to stab her directly in the arm. A nearby teacher witnessed this improvised choreography and rushed to save my mother. To ensure she was okay, he pushed her into a nearby classroom. Throughout the duration of her time inside, the amount of which she could not recall, my mother had remained still and composed, she recited, calling, lost in the dream world. Though shaking inside and frigid with fear, she reiterated to him that she was absolutely fine, that she would leave now. Taking a moment to flatten the creases from her skirt, she calmly walked out the door. As for her, she would repeatedly exclaim, this attempted stabbing was merely a renewed certification, one that only reinforced her incorruptible grace. As she left the classroom, she did not thank the teacher for intervening. This was the key, she reminded, to achieving the status of beloved. She tries to name it, shame it, blame it, but the words do not, will not, shall not. Each time my mother told me this story, I gushed with questions about the sheer cruelty of the schoolgirl, the imminent threat of blindness. My mother never answered these questions. This was not of any interest to her. Her focus was solely on the poise she had maintained, on what the failed attacks held as affirmative promise. The story was the proof of this tale's existence, the proof of her own existence. From a young age, I realized that my mother lived in the past rather than the present. How could she have ever seen me when her head, her room, her world was so full of these ghosts? How could she have ever warmed to my presence when all I represented was constant cooperation with the passing of time? And with it, aging, decay, the demand and destruction to a pre- and post-maternal body. My mother gave birth to me when she was 26, 1 year after the picture in the living room was taken. Since then, she has been all manner of ages. Time has passed her by, unseen and unacknowledged. There is no trace that she has existed in any of these realms, select realms of which I too have now surpassed, with plenty of trace, plenty of evidence, though always with a silent, lingering feeling of guilt. It has now been decades since my mother last sat with me, not in the way she sits now, in this dreamland, bathed in a razor of moonlight. Not in any kind of way. She remains cast in shadow, a faded memory. When my parents finally decided to separate after many tepid years of marriage, my mother found herself alone for the first time in her life, in a new, much smaller home, requiring constant professional. professional care and supervision. Where now existed her economy of burden? How now could she trade and exchange in her tokens of power and control? The sternum, the heart. Does she love? Does she fear? Does she bathe, soak in hatred like you? Does an emptiness rattle deep in the pit of this vessel like you? Will she become edgeless, endless, dredged of all life force, fade to the margins, only to be left in stale resentment? Does the gravitational force of such ancestral lines press weighted decline down onto this chest, onto the only living benefactor of these invisible threads, threads that are determined to squeeze the vascular organ, ravage the lungs? The stomach, the gut, dense, full, indigestible, unmalleable in shape or structure, bloated with impairment and ruin, distressed by that which theirs pass through, engulfed in acid, stored in a system reserved for water, fat, tension. To the pelvis, the left side aching dully, the portal to the past, the womb unmoving, untouched, that she secretly fears is arid, or hopes, arid from stress, from shame, arid from a fear of rejecting whatever dares pass through, what may possibly live on, live beyond her. Knees, shins, ankles, strong lean, feet, toes, tired from running, always running. She can't stop running. She can't help running, running away. But nowhere is ever far enough. How did they know to find her here? There is a pause. The guiding light now sits along the towline. Having traveled through the entirety of her hollow being, with a dutifulness, it begins to wane, leaving only small interior goosebumps in its wake. The colored flashes behind her eyelids fade into total obsolescence. The woman sits quietly. She continues waiting. The final instruction is to wriggle the toes, a sign of coming back to life. The outline wakes into a shallow, disjointed breath that is dense, labored. Almost as if there's something stuck, the woman notes. Something lodged in the diaphragm, stopping, blocking your ability to breathe. Thank you.
Thank you. Margin. We go on next to Alice in Damascus.
Thank you.
plus two, which means we'd be going nine and a half hours. Yes, I'm literally counting on my fingers. I don't know what time you started working today, but for me it's been more than 12 hours. And I'm going to be here right to the end. I'm really grateful that some of you are here, snoozing, napping, listening. Hang out. We have a little bit of a tabaka before our next act, so I'm trying to decide what we would like to play. Do we want some compilation of recordings of Georgian polyphony, like recordings of choirs singing Georgian songs? Or do we want three short comic lectures by one of my favorite Amsterdam performers? Or do we want to hear from Hannah Kemp Welsh, one of our friends from Shortwave Collective? Maybe it's the Georgian songs. Is it that part of the evening? Also, the next few hours I programmed quite a few breaks. And what's important about that is that you can also choose to do something. So if you're here and you're awake and you feel like contributing something spontaneously, that is possible. You can let us know. But for now, we I think it's going to be the Georgian songs.
Songs we've learned. German polyphony is a singing tradition that is over 2,000 years old. Last year I went to Georgia and I was really inspired to learn German polyphony and the culture, and I hope you will enjoy it as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
it up for Dark McDoomsky.
Oh.